yesterday I was out and about, a boat, as they say in Canada, as we say, and doing various Christmas errands. Came home in the afternoon and didn't actually even really look outside all night until this morning. And when I got up at 5:30 and was getting ready to come to church for 8, I still didn't really look outside. And then I decided I should probably come to church, open my back door. I often go out the front door, but I went out the back door this morning, and much to my surprise, landed in snow up to my knees, practically. I was surprised. I listened to the forecast, as we all do, but hadn't really paid much attention, obviously, and was taken aback, and of course, as you know, delighted that it had snowed. But I was nowhere near as surprised, or neither were you this morning, as Joseph might have been in today's reading. I can't even imagine. I can kind of imagine it from Mary's perspective, but I can't even imagine what it was like from Joseph's. In that day and age, there were two steps to getting married. One was you got engaged, which isn't really the right word, but you were essentially joined to another person. But you didn't live together yet. And so it was a very serious commitment, though, almost as serious as being married in its full right these days. And so when Joseph found out that Mary was going to have a child, this was going to be a large problem. It was actually honorable for him to dismiss her. That sounds odd to us, but it would have been the honorable thing to do. And I can only imagine how difficult it was for him to finally get to that decision. And if he was surprised in the first instance that she was pregnant, imagine how surprised he was when an angel appeared. I don't know about you, but I don't regularly have angels come and visit me. Probably I see snowstorms more than angels. And so here's poor Joseph twice in a short period of time, totally taken aback. And what astonishes me even more is he actually listened. When God appears in some form to us, it can be kind of dramatic. And poor Joseph got all of that and more. And so he took Mary anyhow, said he would be with her, and they became fully married after Jesus was born. Imagine what it was like to say you're going to have a son who's not really yours, but his name will be Emmanuel. You will call him Emmanuel, and he will be with you. It will be God is with you. Another surprise. I can imagine Joseph was probably thinking, I wish I'd never met this young woman, Mary, at this point. But it makes me think about how we often get surprised about how God is with us, and how often we don't really think about God being with us. And I don't mean God being with us here this morning because we're surrounded by beautiful things that remind us of something bigger than us, the ethereal and sort of beyond us. This is where we come to be reminded that God is with us, but that we are reminded every day that God is with us. If we don't have angels alighting on us to remind us, or we don't have things to startle us and wake us up, as Joseph did. I'm going to share a story with you this morning that some of you may have heard before. And it's about a monastery which had fallen on very hard times. Now, you may see some parallels between this story and what we think about our church in the wider sense. They'd fallen on hard times. They were once very popular. Lots of people wanted to be part of this monastery, but no longer. Because the buildings had been filled with young monks, and the big church had been full and resounded with glorious singing and praying, and many people were blessed by this community. But people no longer came. There's only a handful of old, very old monks and one young novice who were there that praised God, but not very happily. They were worried about the future of their monastery and of their very lives and souls. Now, nearby, on the edge of the woods near the monastery, there was a little hut that a rabbi had built, an old rabbi who was retired, and he occasionally came and walked by the monastery through the woods. Well, one day the abbot of the monastery was really distressed about the lack of a future and the failing of the faith, and he decided to go visit the rabbi. So after morning Eucharist, he set out through the woods and went to the little hut. And the rabbi greeted the abbot very warmly. Because they were very different, of course, but across those differences, they recognized their similarities. They both knew God. They both knew the difficulties of keeping faith alive in their communities. And they were both concerned for the welfare of all those they served in the world. The rabbi and the abbot didn't speak much. They just sat in the presence of each other's company for a few moments. And eventually, the rabbi only spoke a few mysterious words to the abbot. "The Messiah is among you." The abbot didn't say anything, and the rabbi said, "You must only repeat this once, and no one must ever say it aloud again." They definitely sat there in silence for a while after that, as the abbot pondered the words. And finally, they gave each other a hug, and the abbot walked slowly back to the monastery, wondering what the rabbi had meant. "The Messiah is among you." What could that mean? He was in a monastery that was almost empty with a few old men. Well, it couldn't be cantankerous Brother William. He couldn't possibly be the Messiah. And it definitely wasn't mean and spiteful Brother Stephen. But what about that young novice who had come to join them, the hope of their monastery, but he was petulant, withdrawn, and definitely a teenager. He couldn't possibly be the Messiah. Who could Christ be? What had the rabbi meant? And he thought about it all afternoon and all night, didn't get much sleep. And the next morning, he called together the handful of old men and the one young novice and shared with them the teaching from the rabbi. "You can never repeat this," he said. "The rabbi who walks in the woods says the Messiah is amongst us." Like me this morning and like Joseph, the monks were more than a little startled. They were surprised at this news. And of course, they couldn't talk about it. They were never to repeat it. So amongst in themselves, they questioned, well, what could that mean? And they went through the same litany. "Is dirty and sloppy Brother John the Messiah? I don't think so. Is moody Father Matthew or old Brother Thomas the Messiah? I don't think so. What about busybody Luke? Definitely not. He just passed gossip." Well, what could this mean? They had no idea. The Messiah is amongst us. They were deeply puzzled. But because they listened to their abbot, they never said another word about it. They never mentioned it to anyone again. Days and weeks went on, the usual routine of the monastery, but something began to change. The monks began to treat each other differently. They began to treat each other with special reverence and more respect. There was a gentle, wholehearted, human yet divine quality about them, which is really hard to describe, but was really easy for others to see. They lived with one another as men who were always treating each other as though they were something special. When they prayed and they read scripture, they prayed and read as men who were always looking for something, because they were. And the occasional visitors that came by the monastery were deeply moved by what they experienced in the lives of these monks. Before long, people were telling other people, and other visitors came to come, began to come. And they were all astonished by the spirit that they found in that place. And they left, some of them with their lives changed, and others, young men, began to come and join the community. And before they knew it, the monastery had again changed, and it was a thriving, healthy, amazing community that served not only themselves, but everyone that came in contact with them. Emmanuel, God is with us. What would it be like if this morning you thought God was with us? Not as an idea, but as someone here in this pew beside you, or chair. You don't get out of that just because you're in chair. What would we be like if every person we met, we wondered if they were actually the current incarnate form of the God that we believe in? How would we treat each other? How would you treat yourself? We might be a little surprised. Like snowfall that covers the ground and becomes beautiful, a simple phrase, God is with us, can cover our lives and change us. Like a young man who thinks he's in a simple relationship and is visited by angels and pregnancies and commitments, lives a life of being blessed because he experiences God being with him. May we experience Emmanuel, not just this moment when you're thinking about it, but every moment, because we never know who indeed walks the road with us. Amen.